All right, what's up, guys? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dog Whisperer podcast. I am lucky and privileged to be sitting here in front of a young lady that I've got to enjoy watching play throughout her collegiate career at Texas. I will let this young lady introduce herself because I know a lot of my young female athletes are about to lose their minds right now. So I will let her speak and introduce herself now.
Hey, y'all. I'm Brooke McCarty Williams. I went to the University of Texas, Hook'em. I got to play overseas and I got to play in the WNBA. So I'm excited to be here and, you know, kind of get to chop it up with you.
Awesome. So it's kind of starting off at the very beginning. Kind of tell us what made you fall in love with the game of basketball. Were you always a one sport athlete or did you kind of experiment with other sports as well?
I wasn't a one sport athlete. I think that when I was younger, my mom, she coached little dribblers, and I'm from Madisonville, so it's kind of like a league that they do out there. And yeah. I was always around basketball. My mom is basketball. Yeah. So I had no choice, you know, being around it all the time. But I fell in love with it when I was about four. I did ballet and stuff like that, gymnastics when I was little. That wasn't really my sport. And then when I was in middle school, I did, you know, track, cross country and volleyball. So I got to experiment a little bit with different sports, but basketball was for me.
Definitely. I'm glad you chose that. So when did you know that, you know, playing collegiately was really a real, you know, opportunity for you? Like, when did it become real for you?
I think in middle school, around like seventh grade, I started playing with this older team who was, I don't know if they were sponsored back then, but either way, it was a team that would be playing in front of college coaches, and I was playing with older girls. So, you know, it was their time to get seen by colleges and things like that. So I think right around then in middle school when I started playing with them, because I got that exposure and I started going to camps, you know. I started going, being able to, you know, go compete at those camps and compete against the top level talent. And so I think that in middle school, it kind of, you know, hit me like, oh, you know, this is going to be a thing. Like, I'm going to go play college basketball, things like that. So I think around like seventh grade.
Okay. All right. And so do you think going to camps is a good thing? I know it's becoming kind of a debate whether or not, you know, athletes should, you know, invest their money into going to camps. Like, what type of camps do you recommend, like, these high school girls, you know, attend?
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, back then, it's so different now because, you know, you have, like, social media and, you know, things like that. And social media, it was kind of, like, getting started back when I was younger. It wasn't really a thing where, like, you know, you could post your highlights or something and, you know, colleges can see you or such and such can see you. So for my time, I think that it was big just because, you know, that's what basketball players were doing during the summer. They were going to these camps, you know. We would all go to, like, Gannon Baker camps, you know, Girls Prep Report, things like that.
Right.
And we would all be there competing. And that's just what we were doing during the summer, during the part that wasn't, you know, AAU time. So I think 100%, you know, back then it was really good for girls to go to that because you're playing against top level talent every weekend or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then at these schools, you're getting able to be seen by these head coaches. So I thought that, you know, the earlier they get to see you, now they can know who you are and follow your career. And, you know, I think it was big because now I think it's big now because a lot of kids, you know, there's different AAU teams and, you know, every AAU team is good. It's good that you have a team to play on, but if you're not in front of college coaches, you're not going to get seen.
Right.
So I think that, you know, back then for us, it was a good thing. Now I'm not really into everything that's going on, you know, in the AAU world and things like that. So I really can't say, you know, it's just, it was a different time back then. So for us, yeah, it was good to go. But I always think that if you can go get seen by, you know, someone at a camp or, you know, at just a weekend, you know, getaway thing, then I think you should do it.
Definitely. Okay. Nice. All right. So fast track, you know, you get to your junior, senior year in high school. You know, what was that recruitment experience like for you?
For me, it was pretty easy. So I kind of knew where I wanted to go in seventh grade. You know, I went to a camp who at the time, I forget who the coach was, but it was the LSU coach. And he had an assistant, Coach Travis, who coached me at Texas. And so right then and there, I knew, you know, I wanted to play for Coach Travis. It was just one of those things where, like, I liked how he ran the drills. I liked how everything, like, our communication, everything like that. So I knew from that day that I wanted to play for Coach Travis. And then he kind of bounced around. So I was still in love with LSU. You know, I wanted to go to LSU. Like, nobody could tell me anything.
Yeah.
And then just so happened, you know, I was never, I want to go to Texas. That was never my mindset. And so it just so happened that I think it was my junior year or maybe the year before, Coach Travis got the coaching job, not the head coaching job, but the coaching job at Texas.
Right.
And I was like, I was torn because, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I still want to go to LSU, but this is somebody who I want to play for. And then, you know, just my teammates and everything like that, it was the familiarity of everything. I got to know them, you know, I knew them through high school, played against them. So that kind of made my decision of like, okay, I want to go here. So for me, it wasn't really bad because I didn't really like the recruiting process. So I wasn't trying to get on the phone with coaches. I wasn't trying to, you know, I wasn't trying to do all that because I already knew where I wanted to go. And I just didn't want to waste people's time.
Right.
So for me, it was easy. You know, once he made that move to Texas and I knew everybody there, I think the hard part for me was kind of choosing between the two. But right. I ultimately chose Texas. So it wasn't that hard.
That's a good reason to choose, though. You know, that relationship, you know, with your coach, you know, it's very important. And that's what I preach to the high school kids, you know, is developing that relationship, not only with your high school coach, but knowing that when you're getting ready to choose a college home, you know, you want to make sure that you feel comfortable, that you feel like this is someone that you can play for. They relate to you. They understand, you know, who you are as a player and also who you're trying to become, you know, and help you to, you know, grow. So kind of walk through that, you know, those years at Texas. Like, how was that for you? You know, you had a good run.
It was difficult at first. I'm not going to lie. You know, everybody hits that freshman wall.
Yeah.
So going away for me, you know, it's only 3 hours away from Houston. But at the end of the day, like, I was homesick. You know, I was trying to go home every weekend. Like, workouts were killing me, you know. And I was the type of person who, like, I would put in the work on the outside, you know, and I thought I was working hard in high school, but it's a whole different level. And I think a lot of kids don't understand that, you know, going into college, it's like, it's a whole different level that you have to adjust to. It's something that, you know, you're not going to have your parents to go home to every night. You know, you're really trying to start being an adult.
Right.
And then plus you have the schedule of, you know, classes and things like that. So I'm not going to lie. My first year was an experience, you know. I had to navigate through a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
And I just had to kind of get acclimated to where I was at because it was just different for me. So I would say my freshman year, it was okay. You know, I didn't like how I performed, I think. And so I knew that, you know, going into my sophomore year, like, it was going to be a different feeling. Like, I wasn't going to feel how I felt my freshman year.
Right.
So my ending of my freshman year, I put in extra work with the strength coaches and things because, you know, I was small, so I had to put on extra weight, do things like that.
Right.
And so I came back my sophomore year, and it was a complete turnaround for me, you know, and I think that's when I started getting comfortable on the court. You know, I felt like myself again, and I was able to find my role in our offense. I was able to find my role in our team, you know, being a vocal leader, things like that. And so my sophomore year, I did well. It wasn't nothing that I was adjusting to. And then I think my best year was probably my junior year. And then my senior year. So, you know, it's just getting, I guess, adjusted your first year. Because, you know, everybody, you have to kind of figure out, you know, where you fit. And a lot of people think they're going to come in and, you know, and some people do, you know, they come in and they start right away and they have no problems. But a lot of kids, they have to come in and they have to figure out where they fit in.
Right.
And that's different for kids who are coming out of high school and they're this top talent, you know, but they're failing to realize that there's top talent at the schools you're going to, too. And they've been there, you know, the game is different. You have stronger, faster players than you played in high school. And so you have to really understand that, like, you know, it's okay to come in and try to figure out where you fit in because it's different systems, it's different coaching styles, you know, things like that. So I had to do that. You know, majority of kids who go into college have to do that. So I think it's just that adjustment your first year.
Gotcha. All right. And was there a huge adjustment between playing collegiately and then playing professionally? Like, was it a humongous?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's it's a different ball game. Like, these are vets you're playing against, yeah. You know, like, and this is not just a 4-year vet. This is a 10-year, 15-year vet. You know what I mean? So it's a business now. Like, it's not just you're here for school, you know, you're getting your scholarship paid for. No, this is your job.
Right.
So you have to come in there and approach it like this is your job. You can't come in there and approach it as like you would going into college, to where you have to get adjusted, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you have to get adjusted, but now you have to get adjusted quickly, because this is your money that you're trying to make. This is, you know, you're trying to play. You're not trying to sit on the bench. And that's another thing, is like, I had to get adjusted, you know, because I played a lot in high school, college, everything like that. But when I got to the pro level, it was games that I didn't play, you know? And so I think for me, that was my biggest adjustment, was going from playing a lot and, you know, kind of running the show to sitting back and kind of learning and, you know, again, trying to find my role in the offense, trying to find my role in the defense, you know, just kind of taking it all in. Because at the end of the day, like, you have so much knowledge in one room, one gym, you know, it's like, it's a lot to take in at first. But after that, you know, you have to realize that it's just basketball.
Right.
So, you know, going in there, yeah, it's going to be weird at first, because there's expectations that you have to have. Now it's not, oh, these expectations. Now you have pro expectations. You have business expectations. So you have to kind of come with that type of mentality. And it's no more, you know, like, don't complain about this, complain about that. Like, you, at any moment you can get cut. At any moment you can get traded. Like, they don't want to deal with that. It's a level of professionalism that you have to have. And so I think for me, the adjustment, like I said, was finding my role again, and then, you know, being okay with taking steps back and, you know, sitting and learning, or not playing this game, but still getting in the gym, trying to, you know, be better and learn from the vets. Right. So.
And did you have someone that kind of helped you come to that realization? Cause I know it's not, because you're saying it, you know, and it sounds amazing coming from you. There's a lot of maturity coming from you, but that comes with growth. So was there a time where you were like, oh, I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to sit on the bench. Like, this isn't fair. Was there people in your corner that were kind of talking to you, talking you through this process?
I would say my husband. And then I've always kind of been that type of player, is where, like, I don't want to complain. I'm just going, you know, if something ain't working, obviously I'm not doing something that I need to be doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I would definitely say myself at first, just because I had to realize that, you know, look, this is a different level. Like, you know, like, I had to realize that there's vets on the team. Like, and our team was young, the team that I was on at the time. So it was really like, it wasn't really, I think we had a couple vets that had been there over a couple of years, but other than that, we were kind of young.
Right.
So we're all still just kind of figuring it out and figuring out each other. Plus, we had a new coach, you know, things like that. But definitely, I would say, because Taylor Hill was there and Skylar was there for a little bit, things like that. But, you know, they kind of helped me realize that, like, you know, it takes time, but you have to, you know, keep going at it. Like, don't give up on it or whatever. And so I would definitely say my husband as well, though, because he was just like, you know, you're here for a reason. So just go out there and play. So I've always been that type of person, which I'm going to just put in the work.
Yeah, that's a good mindset to have. And, you know, a lot of athletes get it late, and a lot of athletes never, ever get that mindset. And so they spend their career, you know, pointing the finger. And I have kids at the high school level that tend to feel like they, because they're good, they deserve to be on the floor just because they're good. You know, they're not used to having anyone else that is as good as them, or maybe even better, you know, skill-wise than them, or have more knowledge than them. So, you know, what would your advice be to that young lady or young man that is, you know, maybe not putting in as much work because they just haven't met that level of competition yet, you know, so they don't put in that extra work right now? Like, what would you say to them to kind of get them to see the other side of it, to prepare early?
I would definitely say that, like, when you're not putting in the work, like, because at the end of the day, I always believe that hard work beats talent if talent don't work hard.
Right.
So you can have all the talent in the world and you can be the best player, but at the end of the day, if you're not doing stuff to keep building on that talent, there's somebody who don't have the resources, who don't have, you know, the stuff that you have going on for you, but they're still working hard. So now when you meet them later down the line, they're just as good as you because they was putting in that work. You know, it doesn't matter if they were sorry back then or whatever the case may be. Like, now they're competing with you because all that time that you took thinking that you were too good, you know, to put in the work, or you didn't have to because nobody was challenging you. This person was putting in that work. And so now they're, y'all are here.
Right.
So it's just, you have to keep putting in the work no matter what. Like, you, there should always be something that you can build on in your game, because at the end of the day, if you want to get to those pro levels, like, everybody's good.
Right.
So it's not going to be like you just going to walk in there and dominate. And you could, you know, you could. Some people do that. But at the end of the day, like, if you're not putting in the work, even the pros, they're still putting in work,
right,
you know? So there's always something that you can add to your game. You can perfect stuff that you're good at, and I can always say you can work on things that you aren't good at.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, like, if you're going to keep being in this business, because I say business because that's what it's going to become after high school, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's like, if you want to continue your career and continue this and do this, you have to put in that work. And it's not just on the court. You have to watch film, you know, you have to eat right, things like that. So it's always some aspect of your game that you can grow in.
Right. Definitely. I love how you said that. That, I hope, resonates to some athletes, because for some reason it doesn't hit when the parents say it. It doesn't hit too hard when the coach says it. But then to hear someone, because I have a lot of athletes, oh my God, you're going to have Brooke on. I love her. I love her. I love her. I'm like, okay. I'm like, now, once you hear her talk, you better apply the stuff that she says. Like, don't say that you look up to her and then you don't take her advice or take her knowledge and really soak it in. That's typically what happens. You know, they say, oh, I love this player so much. And I'm like, well, do you put in the kind of work that that player puts in? And the answer is usually no.
Yeah. So, it's just, it's a lot of behind the scenes, like, you know, it's a lot of behind the scenes things that you have to do. And a lot of people don't realize, like, to be great at a sport, you know, whatever sport it may be, it's going to be a lot of hours that you have to put in. And it's going to be a lot of stuff that you miss out on.
Right.
You know, I know these days, like, kids want to go here, go here, go here, which is fine. I always, you know, I believe in balance. You can have this outside life, you know, but at the same time, that outside life has to balance the life that you're putting in to be where you want to be, you know?
Right.
And a lot of people don't understand that. And so it's have that balance, but you also have to be serious about your craft.
Definitely. Definitely. So I see you have a camp that you do. What else are you into right now? Like, what does 2021 look like for you as far as, you know, with your camps and different things that you're doing?
Well, right now I'm kind of just doing camps here and there with, Ashley Roberts. She is a former UT player as well.
Right.
And so she kind of has her own camps thing, and we kind of collaborate together. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm training, you know, some kids and things like that. And then for me, I'm training to go back and play as well, 'cause I had my son last June. And so, you know, so I'm getting back into it and doing those things. So that's kind of what 2021 looks like for me right now.
Okay. How is your son doing?
Bad. good. No, he's good. He's about to turn one on the 15th of June. So I'm excited. You know, time went by fast. So
definitely.
He's keeping me busy.
That's probably keeping you in shape.
Chasing him around. For sure.
Definitely. So a couple of questions that I got from a few athletes, a couple of recurring questions, actually. One wants to know, what does your day-to-day look like when you're training, you know, doing skill work, stuff like that? What does your day-to-day typically look like?
Well, so you want to know now or back then?
Probably back then.
Okay, back then.
Yeah.
Well, see, in high school, I'll use high school because your kids are probably in high school, right?
Right.
Okay, so in high school, I would, depending on if it was school or summer. So if it was school, I would go through school, whatever. And then after, we would have practice. After practice, if I didn't have AAU practice, I was probably going to the gym later on for skill work. If I didn't have skill work, then I was probably going on my own to go run at like 24-hour fitness. That's where I would go. And so that was my schedule pretty much all year. I would either, like I said, after school, I would either have basketball, or I would have, which 9 times out of 10, I would have basketball, but I was also going outside of that and going to 24 and running. And I wasn't really doing weights like that, just because I didn't have the knowledge of it.
Right.
But I was always running, always, always, because I made sure that one thing I was going to be was in shape.
Right.
And so that was a typical school day for me. Now, weekend during school, I was either running or I was at the gym. And weekends was pretty much AAU or it was pretty much skill work. So I was always in somebody's gym. And then summer was just basketball all day, every day.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, like I said, like, I preach balance now, but I didn't have that balance back then, you know? So for me, it was, I was always focused on one thing.
Right.
And so, like I said, like, I was in the gym. I was missing out on things, like, things that kids were doing and going to in high school and stuff. I was in the gym each time.
Right.
So, that's pretty much what it was like for me during the regular school year. Now, summer, it was straight basketball.
Yeah.
And I was just in every gym that I could be in, whatever, doing whatever. You know, morning time, I would wake up, probably go run, and then I would go to the gym. And we, depending on however long we'd be in the gym, because back then we had so many hoopers in Houston that it was like we were all in the gym doing skill work, and then it would be we're playing 5-on-5 or, you know, whatever. So my summers were pretty much every day in the gym all day.
Right.
So, all right. But I do say that you need to also listen to your body and give your body a break too. Because I think that these days, like, a lot of people say you have to be in the gym 24/7. You do to an extent. You right. also want to give your body a break because a lot of kids are getting burnt out.
Right.
Because, you know, parents are thinking like being in the gym all day means really being in the gym all day.
Right.
You could really, you know, go in there and have an hour workout and then be good.
Right.
You know? So I think that you also need to have that time to where during the summer or whatever the case may be, take that week break, take that 2 week break, you know, give your mind a break and give your body a break to kind of recuperate and, you know, get your mind on other things, go do other things that you like, hang out with your friends or something like that, you know? So I definitely, you do preach, like, give your body a break and have that outlet to where you're not constantly in the gym because you're going to get burnt out. Like, you're only in high school, so it's a long road, like a long road, especially if you want to play 10, 15 years down in the pro league, you know?
Right.
So you have to kind of listen to your body and not just focus so much on basketball to where you're going to get burnt out by the time you're a junior in high school.
Right.
So.
Because it's not necessarily about the length of hours that you are in the gym, is what you're doing when you're there.
Exactly.
You know, if you go in there and get some really good work in, like you said, in an hour's time, you know, you really did good for that day. And then, you know, if you want to stay in there after that fact, then, you know, maybe do 5-on-5s and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Cool. But, you know, getting a good hour of real skill work in, you know, really perfecting or trying to, like, sharpen that game, you know, that's good work. That's good work right there. And then, of course, I like what you said. You were at 24/7 Fitness, you know, doing, you know, you were doing cardio. You didn't know much about weights then. But with the advancement that we've had over the years, you know, these kids have access to so many different, you know, resources. So, you know, that performance training is something that I think they definitely need to take advantage of.
Definitely.
Yeah. So if you would have had, you know, that type of resource back then and people, you know, would have been in your ear telling you that this is something you can do to, you know, kind of strengthen your body, also kind of elongate, you know, that career, you know, and make your body recover faster. You know, would that be something that you would have taken advantage of?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I you know, I had here and there, you know, things what I would do, but it was more of, it wasn't, my high school wasn't big on weights. You know, a lot of kids these days, high school is big on weights, but mine wasn't. We were kind of just, you know, it was just what it was. We would do like push-ups or like, you know, always doing sit-ups or something like that. So that was okay. But like I said, like if I was really, you know, if I had the knowledge of it and everything like that, like, I would definitely take advantage of it because it would have, I don't think it would have been such of a culture shock for me when I went to college.
Right.
Because when you get to college, you're weights, like nobody's business, you know? So that for me was the hardest part, was adjusting to that because I'd never done weights like that. And I never, you know, I was always in shape, but I was never trying to lift this or, you know, doing squats or something like that, you know? So I think that it would have helped me adjust quicker to college life.
Yeah, I can just imagine your first year.
It was a lot of like, is this really for me? Like, so yeah, imagine. Definitely though, it would have helped me adjust quicker.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll just ask you one more question. What motivates you is a question that I have.
You know, I think it's my mom. Just because she was a single mom, you know, it was just me, her, and my brother. And, you know, everything that we had or, you know, didn't have or whatever, like, my mom worked for it. So I saw her, you know, doing it by herself. I saw her, you know, doing this. So I think my motivation for, like, being good at basketball was being able to, my ultimate goal was being able to get my own scholarship so that she didn't have to pay for it,
right?
You know? And so I went hard. And I think that another motivation would have been, like, you know, people saying that I'm too small, you know, things like that. It wasn't one of those things where I'm like, oh, you know, I have to do this because they're saying I'm too small. That was internal. Like, okay, you know, if they think this, then I'm going to show them, you know. But for me, it was, you know, my mom, seeing her do everything by herself and everything. And I wanted to reward her with getting my own scholarship and her not having to worry about, you know, oh, man, I got to pay for this, you know, things like that. So I think that that was my biggest motivator.
Nice. And now I'm pretty sure the answer would be your son is.
Oh, yeah. My son, my family, my son and my husband. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how does that look now? Like, you know, preparing to, you know, come back. Return. I don't really like the word comeback, but, you know, preparing to, you know, make your return, you know, after having your son and, you know, taking this year to, you know, raise him for this year, how are you preparing now? Like, what's that mindset like? You know, are you nervous? Are you eager? Are you?
Honestly, I'm pretty chill about it. You know, at first, I think that for me, it was perfect timing. I needed a break. My body, I was mentally drained, you know, my body was drained. I think that I needed to step away to kind of, because I was losing, I don't want to say losing the love for it, but it wasn't as fun as it used to be for me, which is, you know, normal, you know, you're in a business now. But at the same time, like, I don't want to just be doing something because I feel like I should be.
Right.
So I think that, you know, me getting pregnant and having my son in this time, it gave me time to, you know, step away from basketball. Like, I didn't think about it at all. I wasn't, you know, forcing myself to go work out or nothing. I actually took a break, you know. I got to spend time that I haven't got to spend time with my husband.
Right.
And we, because of COVID and everything, so it all worked out perfect. And I think that I needed that break. And so for me now, it's like, I want to be able to look over and see my husband and my son sitting in the stands, you know, watching me play, things like that. So for me, like, it's no longer about me. It's more about, oh, I want my son to see me, you know, I want him to be able to see who his mom is and things like that before I just decide, oh, you know, like, I want to do something else.
Right.
So right now, you know, I thought it was going to be harder.
Yeah.
But I'm not as out of shape as I thought I would have been, you know, things like that. So it's kind of like I needed that break, and it's not really weighing on me heavy. So
good. Yeah. You'll bounce back quick. You know, you put in a lot of work, you know, you said in high school and in college, especially. So that muscle memory alone is going to return.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see you back on the floor.
Thank you.
And I know I have a few players that are excited to see you as well. But, you know, you definitely take all the time you need, you know, enjoy your family, enjoy your son, enjoy his birthday coming. But I definitely look forward to, you know, seeing you back out there. It was good talking to you. I appreciate you coming on here with me.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. And I hope this motivates, you know, these young girls who say they want to go play next level basketball. Right now, I bet they don't have a ball or a weight in their hand. So I hope they grab that motivation from you and really kind of see that, you know, one, it's possible, you know, and then two, there is a bit of work, you know, that goes into it outside of what people see. So I hope they get that point. So anything would you like to say to this younger generation, just as a whole, a leaving point for them?
I would say, you know, just go at your own pace. I know you know, like I said, social media is big, so you get to see a lot of different things on there. And, you know, I would just say, you know, never compare yourself. There's something that you bring to the table that somebody else doesn't.
Right.
So always be true to your game, be true to yourself, you know, and don't worry about what everybody else is doing. As long as you're putting in the work, like, your work will pay off. It doesn't matter if it pays off in 5 days or 10 days or next year.
Right.
You know, keep putting in the work, because at the end of the day, like I said, like, if you're working hard and you're getting in the gym every day or every other day and you're, you know, you're doing the work that needs to be necessary, like, you're going to see the reward.
Definitely. So, yeah. Well, definitely. I appreciate you, Brooke. Thank you so much for coming on. I wish you all the luck and, you know, enjoy your family. I really enjoy that.
Thank you for having me, and good luck with you and your squad. You got.
Thank you. See you later.
All right. See y'all.